Matthew 5-7 actually covers them three. It covers the, was a Sermon on the Mount, about a 3-day, I guess. I guess you could say a retreat that them people, when they're following Jesus around, when he was teaching and preaching there on that mountain there, Matthew 5-7, the Sermon on the Mount. And seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. And Luke also has it also from verse Luke chapter 6, verse 20 to 26 of the Beatitude part of that part of that passage 5. And he lifted up his eyes on the disciples and said, Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. And blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. But woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did your fathers to the false prophets. Some little notes I wrote down of Matthew 5-7 is called the Sermon on the Mount because Jesus gave it on a hillside near Capernaum. The sermon probably covered several days of preaching. That would probably have been a really great time there to get to sit on a hillside listening to Jesus. Amen. So hopefully one day we'll get to sit there and Amen. Get to hear them one how it all supposed to be. Amen. And Jesus proclaimed his attitude towards his position, towards the law. Position, authority, and money are not important in his kingdom. What matters is faithful, obedience from the heart. The Sermon on the Mount challenged the proud and legalistic religious leaders of the day. It called men back to the messages of the Old Testament prophets, who, like Jesus, taught that heartfelt obedience is now important than legalistic observance. And in verses 1 and 2, was enormous crowds were following Jesus, and he was the talk of the town, and everyone wanted to see him. Disciples who were the closest associates of the popular man were certainly tempted to feel unimportant proud and possessive, being which Jesus gave them not only prestige, but also opportunity to receiving money and power. And the crowds were gathering once again, but before speaking to them, Jesus pulled his disciples aside and warned them about the temptations they would face as his associates. Don't expect fame and fortune, Jesus was saying, but mourning, hunger, and persecution nevertheless. Jesus assured his disciples that they would be rewarded, but perhaps not in this life. There may be times when following Jesus will bring us great popularity. If we don't live by Jesus' words in his sermon, we will find ourselves using God's message only to promote our personal interests. And in verses 3 through 12, the Beatitudes can be understood in at least four ways. They are a code of ethics for the disciples, of a standard of conduct for all believers. They contrast kingdom values with eternal and worldly value. What is temporary? The contrast of superficial faith of the Pharisees with the real faith that Christ demands. They slow down the Old Testament expectations will be fulfilled in the new kingdom. These Beatitudes are not multiple choice. Pick what you like and leave the rest. They must be taken as a whole. They describe what we should be as Christ followers. And then each Beatitude tells how to be blessed by God. Being blessed means more than happiness. It implies a fortunate or inevitable state of those who are in God's kingdom. The Beatitudes don't promise laughter, pleasure, or earthly prosperity. Being blessed by God means the experience of hope and joy, independence of outward circumstance. To find hope and joy, the deepest form of happiness, follow Jesus, no matter what the cost. With Jesus' announcement that the kingdom was near, Matthew 4:17, people were naturally saying, how do I qualify to be in God's kingdom? Jesus said that God's kingdom is organized differently from worldly kingdoms. In the kingdom of heaven, wealth and power and authority are unimportant. Kingdom people seek different blessings and benefits, and they have different attitudes. Are your attitudes a carbon copy of the world's selfishness, pride, and lust for power? Or do they reflect the humility and self-sacrifice of Jesus, your King? And Jesus began his sermon with the words that seem to contradict each other, but God's way of brings usually contradicts the world's. If you want to be lived for God, you must be ready to say, and to what seems strange to the world. You must be willing to give when others take, to love when others hate, to help when others abuse. By giving up your own rights in order to serve others and one day receive everything God has in store for you. And in verses 11 and 12, Jesus said to be happy when we're persecuted for our faith. Persecution can be good because it takes our eyes off earthly rewards. It strips away superficial belief. It strengthens the faith of those who endure, and all, and our attitude through it serves as an example to others who show we can be comforted knowing that God's greatest prophets were persecuted. Elijah, Jeremiah, and Daniel, the fact that we are being persecuted proves that we have been faithful. People would be unnoticed. In future, God will reward the faithful by receiving them up into his eternal kingdom where there is no more persecution. If Jesus was persecuted, then we shouldn't realize that we're going to be persecuted too when we walk with him. Because the world standards is not the same as God's standards. And the passage of some little bit of notes I wrote down on the passage of Luke here. This may be Luke's account of the sermon and that Matthew records in Matthew 5-7. It may be that Jesus gave similar sermons or several different occasions. Some believe that this was not one sermon, but a composite based on Jesus' customary teachings. The verses are called Beatitude, but the Latin word meaning blessing. They describe what it means to be Christ's follower, give standards of conduct, and contrast kingdom values with worldly values, showing that God, Christ's following, can expect from the world and what God will give them. In addition, they may contrast, take plenty with true humility, piety with true humility. They also know how Old Testament stations are fulfilled in God's kingdom. Some believe that the hunger about Jesus spoke a hunger for righteousness. Matthew 5-6. And they often say that a physical hunger, in any case, is a nation where riches were seen as a sign of God's favor. Jesus started his hearers by pronouncing blessing by the hungry and trying so however he was, and with an ancient tradition, the Old Testament is filled with texts proclaiming God's concern for the poor and needy. And if you're trying to find fulfillment only through riches, wealth might be the only reward you ever get, and it does not last. We should seek comfort now at the expense of eternal life. And then Mary, false prophets lived during Old Testament times. They were praised by kings and crowds because her prediction, prosper in victory, were exactly what the people wanted to hear. But popularly, it no guarantee of truth and fortune. Flattery does not bring approval. Sadness lies ahead of those who chase after the crowd praise rather than God's truth. If we're seeking after the men, the praise of men, then that's all we're going to get. If God's not getting the glory by getting him, then we get our reward when he comes back for us. And then we end with Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You got a big gut going down. You got a man on one side here and God on the other side. And the cross is right in the middle. And the only way we can reach over, we got to accept him as our Lord and Savior. And if you're going to live forever, in two places, either in heaven or hell. If you want to be with Jesus, you got to accept him as your Lord and Savior.
Amen.
If not, then you'll live forever in hell for all eternity. There's no annihilation, as some people want to say. You're going to live forever in one of the two places. And I guess that's about all I have. So, Father, we just thank you for this time, Father, just to come to worship you and to praise you, and just thank you, Father, for your word, Father. Father, just hope what I said was on track, Father. Stick with your word, Father. We just ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.